do this first. Title this morning, Beth. Da 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 da. Welcome to the good ground.
Thank you, Lord. I've been like, are we gonna get there? Are we gonna get there? Y'all remember these, right? They came the same way, and we're almost there. We ought to start pretty soon hearing testimonies of what you believe God for has come in. Now, to us that are believing, like my brother's done been home for months now, so I'm not real excited, because I mean, I done had him for months, not in the physical or in the natural, but in the spirit. So we're going to start this morning by, I got all this stuff wrote down, but I really don't know where I want to start at. Let's just go to Mark 4, Beth. And we're going to read all of these in the Amplified, so Beth will put them on the screen in the Amplified. We're going to start verse 26. Now, we've been on the sower sows the word. It's talking about the kingdom. This is another description of the kingdom. Verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Well, I'm reading that fine. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how. The earth, which we know that to be our heart, produces, acting by itself, he says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle, because the harvest stands ready. Something that I have come to, I think I noted in my head, but maybe it become a more revelation in my heart, is about this parable, the sower sows the word, is this is the kingdom. If you want something, you must plant a seed. When God wants something, he always plants a seed. The Bible says in the beginning God did what? He said. Our words are seeds. Our actions are seeds. Our thoughts are seeds. Everything we have is a seed. But how many knows, if you want to change something or you want something to come into this realm, you must plant a seed. That's why you hear Scotty say, excuse me, you know, he talks about planting financial seeds. If you have a need, plant a seed. Why? Because if you want something turned around, you've got to plant a seed for it. Why? He says, this is the kingdom. The Bible says, God so loved the world, what did he do? He planted Jesus in the earth. Why? To reap a harvest of all the rest of the people here. Without that seed and it coming to its fullness, that could have never happened. There was no redemption for us other than God planting his seed, Jesus. So like this, if you want a good marriage, you're going to have to plant a good marriage. How many knows they don't just happen, especially nowadays? I mean, just like Scotty, I have loved him for all these years. But there's still times I've got to plant a seed. Why? Because life changes, things happen, all kinds of things. If you want your finances to change, you got to plant a seed. The first thing you're going to have to do is get a seed and plant it on the inside of you. What do I mean by that? We was talking about some people last night, just in general, and people that we know and stuff and have seen over the years in people and everything. And it's like they're born again. I honestly believe they're born again. They love the Lord, but they never took the Word of God and planted it in their hearts as a seed and renewed their mind with it and changed the way they think. So therefore, they're born again, they love the Lord, but their life stays exactly the same as what it was. Their finances stay exactly the same as it was. Why? Because if you're going to do different, you've got to learn to think different. You cannot go beyond what you think. And there's what's called thinking patterns. Just like Scotty, for an example, and I didn't feel this way, but he did. And he had this, that he, when we began to get the Word of God about being debt-free, you know, and owing no man anything but to love him, and God wants you blessed, the blessing of the Lord maketh you rich and adds no sorrow, all of those things. In his heart, he wanted to do that. He wanted to believe that. But in his heart, he couldn't. Because in his heart, in his mind, he could see no way, D, without debt. He, in his heart, believed there's no way I can have anything without borrowing. So what do you do with that? If you don't get that changed by a seed, of the Word of God growing in your heart and renewing your mind to it, and then it comes up and comes out of your mouth and everything, you will stay in debt for the rest of your life. Why? Because every time something happens, every time you need some finances, you still think the same way. You still think run to the pawn shop. Y'all not saying nothing. You still think run to mom and them and borrow money. See, before we got born again, we borrowed money from Granny and Papa anytime that we needed something, you know, and they was always good to let us, you know, and we paid them back and stuff like that. But after we got born again, after a little while of that, God wouldn't allow that no more. Why? Because God's way is you trust Him. You rely on Him. You do things the way He says. Why? Because my trust is in running to Granny and Papa and getting the money to meet my needs. That's the way we had always done it. But there come a time that God says, no more of this. I think the last time was what? You borrowed the money to put that fuel pump in that we didn't give the $2 in the offering and figured out we didn't need a fuel pump after all. I think that was the last time maybe. Then after that, we got the Word, and it began to live in our hearts, and it began to renew our minds to where we begin to think different, where God says that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow, and not 10 jobs that goes along with it. The Bible says in, what is it, 3 John 2, He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prospers. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that ain't going to prosper until you get what's in your spirit out into you. It affects your soul and changes your soul. You think different. Your will is different. You have different thinking patterns. That's just like us. I mean, before we got born again, that's what we thought. Run to the pawn shop. I mean, that was for years. I don't wear a wedding band now because I'm too fat. It don't quite fit right now. But, I mean, I always wore a wedding band. But, I mean, you need $40, $50, $60. What do? Run to the pawn shop. How many of those rich people don't run to the pawn shop? And you might think it's because they have money. No, they quit going to the pawn shop. See, you don't even have to be saved to do what I'm telling you. Why? Because it is a law. God said in Genesis, He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and heat. There'll be winter and there'll be summer. All these things are going to be. And the thing is, it's the same way in the kingdom. If you need something changed, then you've got to get a seed and you've got to plant it. Matthew 6, He says, take no thought. How? Saying. There's some thoughts, I need to take it. There's other thoughts, I don't need to take them. So I've got to discern by the Word of God and the Spirit of God on the inside of me, which one of these thoughts do I take? Why? You got to discern, number one, where it's coming from. And the Word will help you do that, because the Bible says in Hebrews that the Word is quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, going down, dividing the spirit and the soul, He says, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God helps me to discern what is God. Then when I find out what is God, I got to plant it. Now, for years, what I done is I called things like they was. Them clothes in the kitchen floor that got on my nerves so bad, every time I would pick up them clothes in the floor, not even paying no attention. And I know why I wanted to say it, because it's the enemy. Every time I would start to pick them clothes up in the floor, he ain't even around, so I don't even know who I'm talking to other than the air. I would say things like, I'm telling you right now, I get so doggone sick and tired of picking these clothes up out of the floor. What's the matter with you? I would say that. And I would plan it. And I would reaffirm it. And I would reinforce it. And guess what I had, D? I kept having clothes in the floor. Why? The Bible says that God Himself calls those things that be not as though they were. In other words, He don't call it the way it is. He don't call it the way He sees it. Even us, the mess that we was and still to some degree are, He doesn't call us the way He sees us. Just like Gideon, whenever the angel of the Lord come to him, what did he call him? Mighty man of valor. He is a chicken. He's a coward. God tells him something to do, he obeys, but partially, and then he goes out there and he does it at night. And I reread that here a while back, and I didn't realize that was his daddy was the one who had built those altars. I didn't realize that till the other day. I was paying close attention to what I was reading. Well, God tells him, go pull down the altars that your daddy's built. He goes and he does it, but he does it partially, not all of them, and he does it at night. Why? Because he's chicken. He's scared. He don't want nobody to see him because he don't want no confrontation. He knows what might happen to him. But what happened to Gideon? He became what God called him. He is the one that God used, and what? Was it 300 men? Gideon and them, they won the battle and all that? The ones that God told him to handpick? Yeah, you don't do that when you're scared. You're running when you're scared. But God called him the mighty man of valor. Well, we have to quit calling things the way that we see them and call them the way the Word of God says. Get the Word of God and plant the seed. How do I plant the seed? Number one, I read it, I get it in my heart, I meditate on it, and I say it out my mouth. Why? He says, take no thought saying. Well, if I'm going to take a thought, then what do I got to do? I got to say it. I can't just have it in my heart and in my head. You can't even be born again without it being in your heart and in your mouth, according to Romans 10, right? He says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, so shalt thou be saved. So he tells us there in that parable how this comes about. It is exactly like a garden or a flower bed or anything that you plant with us. Every one of us in this building this morning got here by a seed being planted. Whether that somebody wanted it to be planted or not. A seed got planted, and you and me are the result of that seed. Why? Everything works this way. Every animal, every plant, every fish, every bird. How'd it get here? Planted by a seed. How do you get things changed? If you want something turned around, you've got to plant a seed going in the right direction. Then what happens? It begins to grow if you leave it in there. Now, bad things come the same way, too, and that's why we have to, the Bible says, guard our heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it flow the issues of our life, good or bad. So he tells us there how that happens. He says, first the blade, you know, and all that, and in the corner in the air, and then after time, how many is those? Time? It's been over 2 months now since we believed God on John 15:7. Probably closer to three. I didn't add it up this morning exactly, but probably around 3 months, something like that. What's that mean? Is something happening? Sure it is. Can you see it? No, not with these eyes right here. I don't have to see it with these right here. Because I see it with these in here, because I believe God, I will see it with these out here. Now, let's look at Mark 4, verse 20. In the Amplified, it says, and those sown on the good, the Amplified says, well adapted. This is very good. Every one of these stages that you go through, the wayside ground, what you got to do if you're wayside? You got to adapt. You got to make an adjustment. Why? Because for some reason or another, and you're not giving God's word the reverence that it should have. But if you'll change your heart and give the word of God reverence, you won't be wayside ground anymore. And then it talks about how stony ground. What did the stony ground have to do to adjust? If you're not going to be stony ground and you're going to get further on in the word. Number one, he says over there, he says that they lacked moisture. You have to well water yourself. Same thing as when a garden, a flower bed, a flower pot, nothing can live without moisture, without water. I don't know of anything that can. And for us, that watering is the Word and the Spirit of God Himself. I want to read you something right quick. I wasn't going to do this till later. Beth, put up Jeremiah 17, please. You can turn there or not. I'm not going to. I'm just going to read it off the screen. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert. That's not good. In the desert you fry in the daytime and you freeze at night. He says, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the parched places. I don't know about y'all. I don't want those. He says, in the wilderness and in an uninhabited salt land. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. Go ahead, Beth. Did I not do the rest of that? Oops. Yeah, it's through 8. Next verse. It says, for he, now this is the one that trusts in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by what? By the waters that spreads out its roots. Y'all get it with this parable? It spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes. You ain't even gonna know it when it's being turned up. Oh, this is wonderful. So there's no way you can be stony ground in this. It says, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious. We read that one in the parable too, right? And full of care. We read that one in the parable. In the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. But what was the key to that? Number one, if you trust in yourself, if you trust in man, if you trust in anything other than God, he says, you're going to be dry. You're going to be very dry. You're going to live in the desert in a parched land. You're not going to bear no fruit. But he says, for the man that trusts and puts his confidence and trust in the Lord, he'll be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. They get water anytime they want it. Anytime they need it. Doesn't matter if it's a drought. Why? Because there's a river there. They can be a drought out there, but for us, and how do you do that? You put your trust and confidence in the Lord. You spend time with him. Be well watered. I told you about a song that they used to have. I don't even remember the name of the song. But it talks about how that turn your eyes upon Jesus and look wholly into his wonderful face. And it says, and the things of this world will grow slowly dim. That's exactly what happens when we get in the presence of the Lord. That there's, I don't care if you're going through hell. You get in his presence and you are like this. It is no more drought for you. It's like overflowing rivers. Amen? Now let's go back to, what was we on? Mark 4:20? I was there and now I'm not. Verse 20, it says, and those sown on the good, well adapted. If you're going to be good ground, you've got to adapt all the time. Pilots do this constantly. I've heard some of them talk. And they don't make big turns. They make little, small adjustments. And listen, do you realize pilots, they don't go, there is no stop signs in the sky. There's no sign says detour, road out. I mean, there's nothing. There's no map up. There's nothing. So they cannot fly by what they see with these eyes. They fly by these instruments on here because you can be upside down, I've heard them say, to you. I mean, you can be upside down, but to you, you're still right side up. And the only thing that can determine that you can stay on course is by these gauges. And these gauges tell you how to maneuver and every little adjustment that you need to make. Well-adapted ground makes adjustments all the way. That's how come you can't put a formula on this. Now, it all works the same way, but then you've got the Holy Ghost. I mean, you've got 66 books of the Bible here, and I don't know how many verses in the whole Bible. So which one do you need to use at the time? Whichever one the Holy Ghost wills, according to Ephesians 6. Right? So therefore, you cannot leave him out. He will maneuver you. He'll be like them little gauges down there, and he'll bring the word to you that you need in the time that you need it. Then you just yield. You adapt. Excuse me. But for those that won't, they're not going to be good ground. He says, and those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Now let's look at Galatians 2. I'll just read it from up there. I'll let Beth do it. It says, for I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, have in Christ's death for me, myself died to the law and the law's demands upon me, so that I may henceforth live to and for God. 5:18. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, You are not subject to the law. Now, the law was the written code in the Old Testament. We are not to live by that now. Next one, please, Beth. 522. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice this. The work which His presence accomplishes within. You can't do it. You can't make yourself do it. Can't nobody else make you do it. It says the Holy Spirit is the one. It says the work which His presence within accomplishes is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, and it goes on and on. But notice that. It says that the Holy Spirit within. This, so what's today, Sunday? Probably, I don't know. Excuse me. I think Monday or Tuesday this started coming to me. And usually when it's like this, it's usually more than one. Now, I know God is speaking it to all of us, to be aware. But there's some, whether you're in here listening by way of internet, you're already in it, and you got to get out. I'm going to have to tell you a story. Because he's talking about there being led by the Spirit in Romans 8:5, right? He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, this whole thing, we are to do what it says. But being led by the Spirit. After we got saved, y'all pretty much all of you heard the story, but I got to tell it again. I read a lot of the Bible. Travis was just over 2 years old and all that, so he would still take naps in the daytime. You know, I'd do my housework and everything, and then while he was sleeping, taking his nap, a lot of times I would do my Bible reading then because it's quiet. And I would read 10, 15 chapters of the day, not because I felt like I had to, it's because I was so hungry I wanted to. So I would. Now, Scotty, he's at work, and he carries a little New Testament in his pocket, you know, and he'll read a couple scriptures or something on his break. He doesn't have the time to do it as I do. Well, a little time goes by, and every time he'd come home, you know, and we'd start to do something, or he's saying something or whatever, I would say, the Bible says don't do that. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible says do this, blah, blah, blah. And I did not mean anything by it. It's just I had read it, and because I had read it and it had got in me, when something contrary come up, that word come up. And I'm telling him. Well, one morning I am dusting in my bedroom, and all of a sudden this is the first time I ever heard God. Well, second time I ever heard God that was seemed like an audible voice. And I heard him just plain as day, and I knew exactly what he's talking about. He said, it's not your place to tell him. And I mean, I looked around and I'm like, whoa. I know exactly what he's talking about, though. He's talking about it's not Teresa's place to tell Scotty what the scripture says do and don't do. Why? Whose job is that? The Holy Ghost, and I'm not Junior. I can't do it. I don't know how to. I can't even do it for myself. And so I told Scotty, you know, one day when he came in, and I told him what the Lord had told me and everything, and I didn't know it because he hadn't said anything. By me doing that, telling him that, was making him feel condemned because he couldn't do it. Y'all not saying nothing. When we serve God, we have to do it from the heart. One of the things that the devil will try to do is get you to begin to serve God by law and religion. Religion is trying to be like Jesus, doing what the scripture says best you can without that relationship with him from the heart. And the thing about it is, you can backslide sitting in the pew. Y'all not saying nothing. Let me say that again. You can backslide sitting in the pew. Why? Because all of this whole thing is, your heart must be engaged. When you read your chapter, your heart must be engaged with that chapter. When you hear the word, your heart, why? Because if not, you're wayside ground. It's just going past you. And everything is supposed to be from my heart. God's not going to make me do anything. I don't have to read my chapter. I don't have to do the things that I get to do them. But the devil will put you in this thing to where you have to. You have to. No, you get to. This is a, let's, that one I've got in chapter 7, let me find it. Right quick. Look at, no, that's not it. I must have didn't write that down. Let me go over here right quick to something. It's, Romans chapter 7. I didn't write that down. Most positive idea. Anyway, I can't find it right now. Go to John 15. But anyway, what it's talking about in Romans 17, how he died to the law. So therefore, he doesn't serve the law anymore. How many knows we don't serve the law, we serve God. And when I say law, I'm talking about just written words. You must have the Spirit on the Word of God. Just like Jesus, whenever the devil come at him in the wilderness, y'all remember that story, right? And Jesus quoted scripture to him, what happened? The devil figured him out. He said, oh, you going to quote some? I'll quote you some back too, right? And he began to quote scripture to Jesus. But Jesus knew this ain't out of a right spirit. You're not being led by the Holy Ghost, and it's out of context, so I don't listen to that. Now, here in John 15, verse 4, he says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. That is the whole ordeal. I can't cast out devils in myself. I can't heal the sick. I can't even change me, D. I mean, there's good self-help things and all that, and I don't have a problem with people listening to that. But how many of us, I can only do so much. If I could do it all, why would I need to even be born again? Why do I need Jesus? Because I can't. Number one, I can't get forgiven for my own sin. And Brother Brad used to tell us this way. He says, if you can nail yourself on the cross and you nail this one, who's going to nail this one? There is nobody to nail it. And the thing about it is, when we're in vital union with Him, we dwell with Him, these things are easier. Because, see, it's a lot easier, Samantha, for me to stay married to Scotty because I love him. Now, if I hate his stinking guts, I mean, I'm going to have to work real hard. Y'all not saying nothing. But because I love him, I want to stay with him. I want to do the things that pleases him. I want to be with him. See, there's some people, they set a time limit to pray with God. And that's fine if that's what you feel led to do. But don't do it just because somebody else, you heard that that's what they do. Why? Because usually when people do that and they're not led to, 5 minutes you've prayed for mom and daddy and all of them and everybody here and everything that you possibly know, and you're like, oh, I've got 50 more minutes. How many knows, whenever me and Scotty was dating, there was none of that. No. I did not have to beg him to come to my house. Mom and him's trying to beat him away all the time. Why? He is over there. He don't go to work. I don't know where he gets it. I guess he gets it from his daddy, his gas money, to come over there. He don't go to, he don't do nothing but wait on me to get out of school every day. And then one time he got in trouble because of that bridge over there in 160. I mean, listen to this, D. Where the bus is getting on the bridge, and here comes him in his, what was that? I forget now. It looks like Dukes of Hazzard, but it's black. I forget what you call that car. Anyway, flying across the bridge and goes around my bus to get home before I do. Get to my house before I do. Is that not crazy? My point to all this is, because he loves me, he's not dreading coming to see me. Because he loves me, there's no problem with him having to try to make a relationship with me. Oh, he wants one. And I do too. Do you know God's the same way? And if we're not careful, that's one of the things that we get into, is we begin to serve God by written law. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, this, that, and another. And then there's no heart relationship, and you're not engaged. So there's no way you can be being watered. Why? Because the water comes from him. The Bible says it'll be a well of living water on the inside of you. So we have to spend time with him because we want to. And I had something happen the other day, and I've had it happen before, but I'm just going to tell you about it because probably you've had the same thing happen. If you hadn't, you probably will. But anyway, I'm still reading my chapters. You know, I read the Old Testament, and then I read my chapter in the New with y'all, and then I've got a daily devotional, and then I've got I don't know how many pages of written scriptures down that I do, and a prayer, and all kinds of stuff that I do every day. Well, I got to noticing, I don't want to. Thank you, Monty, for being honest. That's one of the things, too, about a good heart is it's honest. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I got to feeling like I don't want to. So I get my stuff out, and I'd read, and I'm reading, you know, and all that, and everything, you know, and I put it up, and then the next day, I'm like, oh, I don't want to. This takes me a while, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to, you know? I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm going through the motions. You're still going to church. You're still reading your chapter, but you're just going through the motions because your heart is not engaged and you're not getting no water and you're just getting drier and drier and drier. And I tell myself, no, you are not going to do that. I want to read this stuff. I want to pray. I want to spend time with God. Do you realize you can fix your heart? That's what David said. I have fixed my heart on you, O Lord. You are the one that can change your heart. That's exactly how you get a hearing ear, is because you change your heart. Now, surely you won't have to do like a lot of us did to get saved. Life got pretty rough. And how many knows a lot of times when life gets rough, head gets softer. And the softer you get, the better you can hear. So I just told myself, yes, you are. Why? Everybody has flesh. Everybody has a real devil trying to stop you, trying to get you off on the left or the right all the time. And I just told myself, no, we're going to do this. I want to do this. I love you, Lord. And I want to spend time with you in your word. And I meant it in my heart. And you know what happened the next time I started reading? Oh, I'm like, oh, put some little sour cream on this. This is good. And give me some dressing. Why? Have you ever read your chapter or read the Bible or something or heard a message preached and it was like, in here it's like, that was like going to Santa Fe or somewhere. Why? Because the word is spiritual food. What changed, Sandy? It's the same word. It's the same routine. Only my heart. So every one of us have got to guard our heart against this stuff. Now sure, there's sometimes flesh is tired or don't want to or whatever. But I'm the one that runs this life, not the devil, not the flesh, and I'm the man on the inside. And this come up, so I'm just gonna have to say it because I don't know any other way to do it. One of the things that I learned after Travis got grown, and I'm sure he's like, I wished you'd have learned it way before, but hey, we are where we are. And I'm going to tell you and everybody listening by way of Facebook and internet and all of that, so you won't do it. Now, I was diagnosed with PCOS. I had done my party and all that. God, I've been married since I was 15. So by the time I'm 18, 19 years old, I want to have a baby. I want to have a family. I want to quit all that junk. I want to be normal, you know. So anyway, I start praying for a baby and all this, and I go to the doctor because it's not happening, all that. And I got diagnosed at 18 years old with PCOS, and they said, you will never have a baby. Impossible. Just ain't going to happen. So I'm crying and whining, you know. And I'm not saved at the time. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm desperate. There's nothing. I have no other choice. So I'm praying and all this and everything, you know. And then Sandy, she starts praying, I reckon, for a baby and gets the church up there where she goes praying and all this. And let y'all know the story. She comes and prophesies to me. God gives her a word. And bam, here he is. Well, after I got saved, I loved that boy so much. I wanted to be the best parent that I could possibly be. Now, because I'm not a perfect person, I had a lot of stuff. God has brought me a long way. I mean, to the point to where I thought everything, I don't care what you do, everything, you need the far beat out of you. And I'm talking far. Travis will tell you it's them whoopings where you fall on the floor, can't breathe. And he's not kidding. But I thought, you deserve that for everything. It had never crossed my mind that you don't. I don't know why. And then one day Scotty told me, he said, Teresa, everything don't deserve the four beat out of you. And I'm like, that's a revelation. The Holy Ghost was on it when he said it. And for me, it was a revelation. It was like something in my heart and head went, ping, the light turned. Well, things changed or whatever. But because I wanted to be the best parent that I could possibly be and raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, a lot of things I was way too strict, and I did not know then what I'm telling you now. There was a lot of things I wouldn't let him watch, and how many knows there's some things we should not allow our kids to watch, especially when they're younger. They don't have the discernment or the knowledge or anything to discern evil and different things in a lot of TV programs and all this other stuff anyway. Trying to get to the point here. So I didn't let him watch a lot of things that other kids that he knowed watched and all this stuff, and he didn't have a lot of things that other kids had. Now, he had everything he wanted. I mean, good Lord, the boy motorcycle. One time he's got two go-karts, a fat cat, and a motorcycle. You know, I mean, he needs nothing. He lacked for nothing. But I felt like the whole time my job was to keep him spiritually. And so, you know, I have a everyday Bible reading. I have fasting. So he don't say it to my face, but we go to bed. Now, I didn't make him fast from food. I would make him fast from TV, games, different stuff. And if he wanted to fast from food, fine. You know, I mean, he was pretty little at the time. And we would get up, and there'd be this note. I hate fasting. I hate this fast on the refrigerator, on the recliner, you know. But he never would tell it to us, you know. Kind of like Gideon, I guess, Johnny. But anyway, you know. Why? Because I'm pretty strict, you know, about this stuff and everything. And we go to church, and his daddy goes to revivals all the time, and he goes with him, you know, I'm preacher's kid and all this stuff. I mean, to even tell you how bad that I had got, one point, he had went to the Space and Rocket Center with Scoo, and he had brought home two of these little, I don't know what you call them, but they're little robot-looking things. I made him get rid of them, Dave, because they might be something attached to that. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all not saying nothing. Oh, y'all wasn't that strict, was ye? Y'all was on the other side. We're loosey-goosey. Oh, now. But anyway, to my point, I was like this. And God hooked me up with John Hagee Ministries, and that's where the Santa Claus deal and all that stuff come in and the Halloween, because I did not have a clue to all this stuff. You know, and it was like, I don't know, I got on a trip or something or got sidetracked, and it was like I could just see evil everywhere, and it was my job to protect him. And so one of the things that happened to him, I don't care if you want to read your Bible. We go and read our Bible today. Scotty didn't even want to do it. So I'm sitting there, you know, we go and read this Bible. And so they're sitting over like, ugh. So when it was Travis's turn to figure out what chapter we're supposed to read, he found the shortest chapter in the Bible. What is it, one verse? Psalm 150 or something like that? I don't remember now. But it is the one with the shortest chapter in the Bible, and it's like a verse. That's how bad he don't want to do it. But we gonna do this. Why? Because we gonna serve the Lord, bless God. Y'all not saying nothing. So we go through all this, all his life, you know, and all that stuff and everything. And then lo and behold, he gets married, D. And moves out. Now we have a problem. Because he's born again. But he has mine and Scotty's God and not his. Y'all not saying nothing. So what happens? Goes buck wild. Just crazy. I told him one day, I said, best thing you can do is move on down the road where they got some land for sale, because I'm not going to see you in your mess every day. You're going to have to figure out, you're going to be Travis the man of God or Travis the thug. What you going to be? Well, what had happened is, because it's kind of like jail. In jail, they tell you when you eat, when you don't eat. What clothes you wear, what clothes you don't wear. They tell you everything, nearly. So that is what had happened to him. So then when he got out, when he left our house, it wasn't his, God wasn't his God. God to him was mom and dad's God, and he don't want mom and dad's God. Why? Because mom and dad's God is no heart relationship with him, Dave. Y'all not saying nothing. And what I'm telling you all, don't put this on your kids. Why? Every person, you can make your kids read their Bible. You can make your kids go to church. And I'm not saying don't tell you, listen, as long as you live in my house, you're going to church. That's just what we're going to do. That's what we do as a family. Now, if you don't want to have a relationship with God, I can't make you have one. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Nobody can make you have a relationship with God. Nobody can make you submit. I might do what you tell me, but in here I was not willing. I just went through the motions of going to church. I just went through the motions of reading my Bible. I just went through the motions of what Scotty wanted me to do. But in my heart, I'm totally rebellious against it. That's not submission. Submission is when I don't want to, but I set my will to do somebody else's will. And every person in this room, you must have your own relationship with God. Every person. You must read your Bible because you want to read your Bible. Because you want to know about Him. You want to, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That you want to know Him. That you want to know the Word. You want to have a relationship with Him. Because I'm telling you right now, if you do your kids like this, it puts them in bondage. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? What is bondage? Law is bondage. Spirit is life. Read Romans 8. Right? The Apostle Paul said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's that law of the Spirit on the inside, that relationship that you have with Him. And listen, a lot of parents hold their kids to their level. Travis may know a lot, Sandy, but he ain't on my level. You try to pray in somebody else's tongues. You can't walk in them tongues. No. Why? Because you've not grown and matured to that place. A lot of times we'll hold our kids to a higher standard than what we even hold ourselves. And listen, they ain't got the capability to be on the level that you're on, especially if you've walked with God any time at all. They don't even have the mental knowledge of the things that you know, much less revelation. And I'm not saying kids can't have revelation. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you this morning, if you are doing this to your kids or your family members, I mean, just like wives will do it to husbands. They want them saved so bad. So every lunchtime, every time they open their lunchbox, there's 15 scriptures in there. And the Bible says what? Don't do it that way. Y'all remember how the Bible said to do it in Peter? He said it's the hidden man of the heart. It's not all this outward doing and all this other stuff, but it's the inward, the quiet. Gentle, peaceable spirit that'll win the husband. Y'all not saying nothing, and I am a woman. But what do we like to do? Tell you guys everything y'all need to do. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm sure April don't. She's the good wife. According to Monty. But see, when you do this to people, I'm not saying you don't even do it. I wasn't doing that on purpose. I did not even know that I was doing it until later. And then I could see the results of it. I mean, just like this, for an example. I tell you what kind of music we're going to listen to in this house. Y'all not saying that. See, country music, rock and roll, is not necessarily sin. And there can be some uplifting things about it. Now, it doesn't feed the spirit. But my point to this is, when is your kids going to start learning and making a choice in their own heart of who they want to listen to? No, long as you live in my house, you're going to listen to exactly what I tell you to. You're going to watch exactly on the TV what I tell you to. You're going to do exactly what I tell you to. You're going to go exactly to whatever church I tell you to. And you got no choice in this matter. Guess what you're doing? When they get out here away from you, they ain't got nothing on the inside that they have made the choice that this is my God. I want to listen to this worship music because I love my God and I want to grow and I want to develop. I want Him. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all making me feel like I'm talking to myself. Now, I'm not saying there's not rules. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Like I said, as long as you live in my house, we're going to go to church. But you cannot make your kids, your husbands, your wives, anybody have a relationship with God. And if they don't choose to do it, then they don't. Because you know what you can do more? Just exactly what I did with Travis. Turn him right off to where everything is law. There's no spirit in our Bible reading. It was all just law. And just like this, whenever you get like that yourself and there's no spirit flow, you need to change something up. You're either getting in a routine, your heart's not engaged, something's going on. That's just like what happened to me or whatever. You know, I told you about, y'all have heard Scotty, you know, he normally fasts at least one day a week or so, and sometimes more, you know, but usually at least one. And sometimes when he feels like his fasting's becoming a law or a ritual, that his heart is not engaged in it, he's just doing it, he'll change the day. Why? Because that's not what you're looking for. You're not fasting just to say you fasted. And if the heart is not engaged with your fast, and all you've done was might have lost a pound because you got so hungry. Fasting is not a magic pill. It's a discipline that will help you with your flesh and different things like that. But it's not a magic pill, and you can fast till you feel like your eyeballs is going to fall out. And if you're not doing it engaged from the heart, all you got was hungry. And that's everything with God. I would hate to know that Scotty stayed with me just out of duty. How do you think God feels when we do, or we make our kids, or try to get our spouses to, or whatever, do what they do, not because they want to? How do you think that makes God feel? Would you like it if I just endured you? No, you want me to enjoy you, don't you? I want to enjoy y'all. I want y'all to enjoy me. God wants the same thing. But whenever it gets like that, all you're doing is bringing people into bondage. Now, like I said, I didn't say that there's no rules or things that we do, certain things or whatever. But I know what I done with mine. And after he got grown and everything, God began to teach me, and I could see things, and I could see things in other people's lives. Because you know what, D? What I come to find out, as strict as I was, y'all ever heard the saying, where there's a will, there's a way? What you laughing for, Travis? Where there is a will, there is a way. That boy went to work for his daddy, and I thought he was at work, and no, he's chasing Beth, and he's running the buses, and he's doing all this other stuff. His daddy don't know where he is, and I think he's at work with his daddy. And I am the mama. I look under the mattresses of the bed. I went out there and searched his truck whenever there wasn't nobody around. He don't even know that part. Yeah, I wasn't one of those that you just put your head in the clouds. You know, my kid's the angel, you know. Mine can't even find his halo half the time. So I did all those things. So I know what I'm talking about. But where he had a will, I didn't find out about that stuff till he got married. Why am I telling you that? Oh, y'all ain't never been. Yeah, I'm telling you, y'all look so sweet today. So innocent. I did a lot my mama did not know about. And still to this day don't know about, and I ain't going to tell her about. Well, what is my point to all that? If my will, y'all better hear what I'm telling you. If my will, I don't care how old I am, if my will is to do something different, I'll find a way and I'll do it. Whether it's my heart toward God, because you can have as much of God as you want, or my heart for other things. But my point to the whole thing is, don't put your stuff off on other people, and don't allow them to put it on you. Your kids must develop their own relationship with God. Your kids must say, this is why I don't want to listen to that kind of music. I'm reminded about owning. Most of y'all have met Oni from Faith Restoration. He's the pastor up there now. And when his kids was coming up, he had two boys and a girl. And his oldest one, his name is Oni Jr. And if you know anything about most of the gypsies, or at least those that go up there, they got the bling. They got the bling everywhere. And, I mean, their hair is so sprayed. I mean, it's like a spike. You know, so they got stuff like that, natural things or whatever. Well, he come home from school one day, and he told his mom and daddy, he said, I want you to cut my hair. Now, Oni used to have real long hair, and so did his boy. He said, I want you to cut my hair. And they asked him why, and he said, because I don't want to be like those other kids at school anymore. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, they cuss. He said, and they talk ugly. He's just a little boy at the time. He said, they cuss, and they talk ugly and everything. He's got a relationship with God, Johnny. And he's making the choice on the inside. I don't want to be like them. I love the Lord, and I want to do those things that I know in his little heart please the Lord, and he knew this wasn't it. So they cut his hair like he asked him to, and he quit hanging out around with those kids on the playground and different things like that. See, that's what God wants. That's what God has to have out of everybody. Because if he don't, then it's a legalistic, ritualistic law that you do, and there is no life in it. Not for your kids, not for you, not for your husband or your wife or anybody. That's like me and Scotty. I can't dictate to Scotty how many chapters a day you need to read. No. Now, I can pray for him. Lord, lead him. Give him hunger. Create desire. Whatever the case may be. But I can't make him do it. I can't down him enough. I can't nag him enough. Y'all women didn't say nothing. Most of the time, God, Lord, most of the time, us women are the biggest naggers there is. I said it. I am one. Now, God is helping us to not be, right? And I don't know what our thinking is. It's just crazy. That if D, I tell him to pick them clothes up long enough, he's going to sneak in, he's going to pick them up. I nagged him for years, and it did not sink in. And I got the revelation of, if I want this to change, then I got to stop saying all this while I'm picking these clothes up and change it. So when I would pick the clothes up later, I would say different words. I would thank the Lord for him and different things. I don't remember now all exactly what I'd say. And before long, lo and behold, he would just go straight in there and put them in the basket. Or he would take them off there and pick them up the next day or something. My point to all that is, my nagging didn't change nothing. My harping didn't change nothing. Why? All it takes, Sandy, is boom, the Holy Ghost say, pick those clothes up. Ain't that what he does with us? When we out shopping, we at the mall, or we at the grocery store, we in a hurry, and ain't got time. So I just roll that buggy that way and look the other way like I didn't see it just rolling down that way. See, the thing about a good heart is it's honest. You can't make excuses for things because God says, Jesus said, walk in the light as I am in the light. The light means the knowledge, the light that you have. Just like this, the revelation that you have. Like this, for an example, when I say something, golly, I got to stop. I'm way over time. When you somebody says something to you and you say, I got that. What happened? It went, ping, the light bulb went off, right? You got some light. You saw it. But see, people like to make excuses. Well, I don't know if that. I hate it. People put something on Facebook. They put on Facebook, do y'all think I need to read 2 chapters of the Bible a day or one? Y'all think I need to go to church or not? Honey, if you're asking the question, you've already got the answer. Because you can have 1,500 friends on your friends list that ain't really your friends. Sorry, just give you a revelation there. And every one of them will have a different answer for you. If you are thinking already, I think I might need to read more. You probably do. I think I need to go to church more. You probably do. Why? Because you got somebody that lives on the inside of you, and it's that spirit prompting you. Not a written letter of the law, but the spirit that's prompting you. I got to stop because my time is actually over. I'm being trouble. All right, y'all got anything quickly?